Hi, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Stacey.
And this is the Body Smart Podcast.
And today we're talking all about New Year's resolutions.
And why the bullshit.
Maybe. So actually, I did look up some stats on this. 25% of people actually give up their resolutions in 1 week.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And actually, if you think about New Year's resolutions, usually it's like a big grand scheme.
Something like really over the top, like I'm going to stop eating junk food, I'm not going to drink any alcohol, I'm going to do all the things. And it's like, you just basically set yourself up for failure.
Yeah, 1 week. It says it all really. Yeah. And then 60%, if you managed to stick it out after that, 60% of people would have given it up within 6 months.
Yeah, wild.
Yeah. So the average person is going to keep making those same New Year's resolutions year in, year out, right? This is going to be the year that I get healthy. This is going to be the year that I lose the 10 pounds. This is going to be the year that I lose the baby weight. Mm-hmm. All of the things, I'm sure if you're listening, you've probably made that kind of resolution before. And they do tend to be around health and fitness and weight.
Yes. I mean, people do set them around multiple different things, but there does tend to be like, I'm going to get my health in check. I'm going to get my weight in check. I'm going to set maybe an outcome-based goal, especially if it's around weight. The goal is good. Like, you've got the intention of like what you want to achieve, but maybe there's not a strong enough why behind it, and also like a plan that's going to actually serve you to hit that goal.
Oh, you're giving away all of our secrets, Jamie.
Oh, God.
Well, that is the purpose of today's episode. So we wanted you to be able to go into this year with a bit more of a solid plan, like a plan, not just a intangible goal.
How does that saying go? It's like a goal without a plan is just a wish. Yes. I think that's often what basically a New Year's resolution becomes. It's just a bunch of wishes. Like, I'll just write it down and hope that it happens. Mm-hmm. And there's no plan behind it. And it does just become that, which is a wish, instead of actually like, hey, this is a goal. Here's my plan. Here's how I'm going to execute it. Is it realistic? And, you know, off we go to see success.
So this might be an episode that you might want to get pen and paper out for, because we're going to give you a lot of practical tips where you can literally do this a long time, along with us, if you want to. But really getting those whys and like those action steps down is going to make the difference between last year's New Year's resolutions, which maybe didn't make it, and this year being a different kettle of fish. So when it comes to realistic timelines, one of the things that we talked about there was 60% of people have quit within the first 6 months. And it does tend to be like these quite big, ambitious goals, New Year's resolutions. Like, I'm going to quit junk food, like you said, or I'm going to lose 40 pounds. And actually, realistic timelines is so essential with those big goals, because it's not something you can just do overnight or you would have done.
Yeah, especially if you're setting a goal up for the year. Like, it's quite a long, you got to try and look back at it and be like, when else have you set a goal up for a year? You know, and being able to follow through. It's a long timeline, and there's a lot that can happen that sometimes is out of your control. So it's like being realistic and mindful around what those goals are. And if it is genuinely important to you, you know, just, I think sometimes we get influenced by so many outside sources that we just write these goals down that we think or believe that we want. And then, you know, maybe we reach a point and it gets too hard, or we're just like, it's not even that important to me.
That's really important to consider, I think, your driver to even setting this goal. Because if you feel like, oh, I should eat more healthy, or I should cut out alcohol, that's going to have a very different outcome than if you really desire to do that.
Yeah, 100%. It's always going to get, like, anytime you're trying to, you know, push the boat and trying to get further than you currently are, or develop something new skills, or lose weight, your adversity is always going to strike at some point and get difficult. And if you don't have a deeper reason why for taking action, it's in those moments, it will just be very easy to just sort of crumble to the pressure and just like sort of be like, this is too much, this is too hard, why am I doing this? And you kind of just give up.
So one of the first tips that I wanted to talk about is setting identity-based goals, because what we talked about at the beginning was a lot of outcome-based goals.
Yeah.
Like, what is that specifiable amount of weight that I want to lose, or like this one habit that I want to start or stop doing? And those can be quite vague, and they can be quite detached from your day-to-day life and even the person that you actually feel you are or you want to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas actually, if you strip it back and you think, like, this year, who do I want to show up as? Like, what's the person that I want to become? That can give you a lot more of a clear compass on what actions.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get, when you say this, it's like, what does identity-based goals mean? There's a really good way of explaining this. Have you heard the story about like the smoker?
Oh, yeah.
You do know this one. Yeah, so there's two people who are trying to quit smoking. And one of them, you know, when they go and speak to someone, say in the office the next day, They go, hey, do you want a cigarette? And the person goes, no, I'm trying to quit smoking. And then you get the next person who goes in, and they go up to that person and they go, hey, do you want a cigarette? And they go, no, I'm not a smoker. And you've got two people there who are both trying to quit smoking, but one is still identifying as a smoker who's trying to create the outcome of quitting smoking. And the other person is still trying to quit smoking, but they're already identifying as a non-smoker because they're going, I'm not a smoker. And there is a big difference there. Both can be going through the same sort of struggle, but one is already basically saying, this is the person I am now. I am not a smoker anymore. And that's how I'm going to choose to identify. And that over time is, you know, what's being shown to like truly create better outcomes if that's what you're looking to achieve.
It's much easier to then identify what your goals should be based on, if I'm not a smoker, what would I act like? What choices would I make? Whereas if you're just you as you are, but you just don't smoke, it's very different to put yourself in those shoes sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it's the same when it comes to weight loss or successfully losing weight. If you struggle to lose weight your whole life, to an extent you identify with someone that struggles to lose weight without maybe even realizing it. And it's like we have to really start to flip the switch on that, of to be like, hey, you need to be somebody that is successful with their health and wellness. And what does that look like? What does a person who has those traits, those habits, those skills do and speak and talk and act like, and start to become more of that person so that struggle becomes less and less? Because I think that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. Like it should always be a season. It's not meant to be a struggle for the rest of your life. And if it has been, it just means that our attention is possibly being focused in the wrong places.
Yeah. So if you are following along and you want to press pause, this is a good question to just get your journal out, get your notebook out, and just write down, what does a fit and healthy person do? Like, what daily routines do they have? What kind of food do they eat? And just whatever that means to you, get it down on paper so you know what you're aiming for.
Yeah, and then you can obviously just go and look as well. Like there's a great quote, which is success leaves clues. I follow it in like so many aspects of life. If I'm trying to learn a new skill or learn something new in business or learn anything, I will go and look at like who's the best at doing this and like what do they do and what are the patterns that they have. And I'm like, okay, well, there must be a reason that they do that. And then I can see, okay, so like the top 100 people or 1,000 people do this. Like why? It's like, oh, okay, that's creating the outcome that they're trying to achieve. It's like they're some of the habits or skills that I need to develop. And I think it's the exact same with being fit and healthy. There are some overriding principles that apply to us all, you know, men and women. And they are just generally good, healthy things that we should all be doing. And if you are acting in alignment with a lot of them, that's probably like 80% of the work. And it might just be like 20% that you need to maybe specifically figure out for you.
So could you give us maybe like your top three that you as a healthy, fit person like to follow?
Top three would be movement and exercise. So I think that they're just, especially in the world nowadays where everyone's becoming more sedentary, you know, making a point of moving your body on a daily basis, whether that's just literally an intentional walk or trying to hit a certain step goal or exercising. You also get, we just covered this in the course that we shot the other day. I forget, Sai, do you remember what the word was called? It's basically like the lazy person who exercises. So you go to the gym like five. The active couch potato. So you're somebody that exercises a lot, maybe like 5 times a week, but you do 2,000 steps. So you go to the gym, you do an exercise at home. And it's like, that's also not what we're trying to achieve here. It's just actually trying to be generally active on a day-to-day basis. That's one. Next is your nutrition. It makes such a significant difference to your physical health, your mental health, how you feel on a day-to-day basis. Basically just trying to get like 80% like whole minimally processed nutrient dense foods, and then 20% a little bit of what you love. And you can even put that 80-20 into like if you take away once a week, that's one meal out of, you know, what, 7 times 3, 21 there you go. Yeah, and again, it's what you do the majority of the time matters, not the minority. And then a huge one on this, and I feel for anyone who's in, you know, shift work or parents, is sleep. You know what I mean? It's like sleep is that driver, that motivator. And a lot of people you'll hear, and I used to be one of these people, say like, oh, sleep's for the weak, I'll sleep when I'm dead, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it just doesn't serve you. So getting great sleep and understanding how to get better sleep, you know, reducing caffeine 8 to 10 hours before bed, minimizing screen time before bed, having a routine, going to bed and getting up at the same time, dark room, cold room. These are all things that you can do that if you just get them three things in place, like your life will not just wildly change in terms of your body composition, but just also like how you feel and show up each day. Yeah. So they're three big rocks for me.
definitely. And the key with that is they all have kind of a accessible starting point. You don't have, you're not saying you have to eat like this to be healthy. It's just finding your own way into that healthy balance.
Yeah, like if you're not an active person at the moment and you look at your phone and it says you do 3,000 steps, like aim for 4. Just do a little bit more. Make it like almost so stupidly easy that you can move to that next step that you'll do it. And same with your nutrition. Like if you're not really eating many whole foods, start being intentional about eating one extra whole food a week. Like that's like literally as simple as that. And then once that's consistent, move to 2. With your sleep, you might be like, Jimmy, I've got no time to sleep more than 5 hours a night. But like start to look at like, how could you find time? Can you change things? Are you wasting time at anywhere in your day?
Could the quality be better?
Could the quality of the sleep be better? Could you get a dark room? Could you wear an eye mask? Could you have a colder room? Could you minimize caffeine in the day so you're not? And that's obviously a hard thing when people are sleep deprived. They're just like, I need all the coffee all the time. But then that has a knock-on effect, with the sleep quality that night.
Yeah. And with this as well, when we said about setting a longer term time scale, these are key to keep in mind that if you did that one healthy food swap, say, each week over a year, that's 52 food swaps. Like most people eat between 20 and 30 regular foods.
Yeah, I mean, if people do online shops or even when you go to shops, you go down the same aisles, you get the same foods. So if you just start to make very small intentional, you'd be like, every week I'm going to swap out one food for something a little bit better or less processed. In a couple of months, your nutrition's really changed in a positive way.
Yeah. And so if you have, it sounds less exciting and it sounds less like it's going to do anything, then I'm going to cut out all junk food. But if you actually take this approach, you're more likely to, in 6 months' time, you're going to not be one of that 60% of people that haven't followed through. You are actually going to have transformed your nutrition and be living the life of someone who eats well.
Yeah, I mean, the huge thing we talk about at Body Smart is getting 1% better. And that's because it's a small enough step that you're like, yes, I can do this. But over time, it really compounds. So like that's what we're saying. Like you make these small steps with your nutrition, your movement, your sleep, or other parts of your health and wellness. And you just keep doing that each week. You get to the end of 2024 and you will be a different person in a really positive way.
Yeah. And the other great thing about it is each change you make, you're proving to yourself with these little wins, oh, I am becoming more of that identity.
Yeah.
I am that person. Look at me. I'm making all these choices.
And I would arguably say that's like one of the most important things. The amount of ladies and women that I've spoken to, and they've just got, all they've got is years or decades of evidence that says, I can't stay consistent. I can't do this. I can't keep my promises to myself. I'll start on Monday. I'll start after Christmas. It's just a constant like layer of excuses. And you really do get into the mindset like, is it me? Am I broken? Can I even do this anymore? And often it can just come down to the strategy that you're setting yourself is always going to set you up for failure. And that's not always necessarily their fault. That's being the marketing and the magazines and the TV and social media that's just like rammed down your throat that like, you should be able to get insert crazy fucking result in 30 days or you're not good enough or you're a failure. And that just isn't the truth. Like,
oh, you should eat like a robot and just follow this exact meal plan and then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Nobody can eat like a meal plan for every day of their life.
And also like you'll get like a lot of people in like the bodybuilding community who reach, success, quote unquote success on social media, millions of followers, and say, you have to eat this meal plan or you're not disciplined. And it's just like, get out of here. You're just like the least relatable people in the world. But they've, because they've got that body and they eat like a robot, other people think that's what I need to do. And it just isn't the case. So yeah, it's not necessarily people's fault that the path that they've been led down. But like, you've got to just start to look at this and be like, hey, if I've tried this for years or decades and it's not worked, maybe it's time we try something else to create a different outcome.
Yeah, and I think it loops back to what you said before as well, as whether the goals that you're chasing are actually that important to you. Because if you're looking at somebody who's got this amazing physique online, you might see their body and be like, oh, that's my goal, to have a body like that. But is that life your goal? Like, is eating like a robot your goal? Mm-hmm. Is only having the same 4 meals every single week and not being able to have a drink with friends?
Yeah.
That probably isn't your goal. So it's really important to get super clear on what that whole vision looks like, not just like one little part of it.
Yeah. And I think that's a great like exercise that you can play out when you're looking at 2024. It's like, how do I want to feel? Like, how do I want my social life to be, my personal life, my professional life, my family life? what does that look like? You know, where do I want to have balance, and maybe, you know, where does the tipping scale, is that right? The tipping scale, the scale
tipping point,
the tipping point or the scale, you know, where is that a little bit more? Where can I be a little bit more disciplined? Where do I want to have a little bit more flexibility and understanding what that looks like? Because then when you get really clear on like who you want to be and how you want to live, then you can start to create like a strategy and plan that aligns with those values versus doing something like, because on the surface it sounds great, it looks mm-hmm. great, and then driving towards that. And then, like we said, you hit a moment of adversity or it gets a little bit difficult and then people just quit.
Yeah, and this is the difference as well with intrinsic versus extrinsic goals.
Yes.
Which sounds very complex, but basically just means intrinsic goals are things that you're really doing for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to feel better, I want to be healthier, I want to have more energy, compared to extrinsic goals. Like, I want to look good in that dress, or like, I want to have the status of being somebody who looks a certain way.
Yeah.
So when you go down the route of like really mapping out what you want your life to be like, it is easier to tune into those more extrinsic reasons.
I think it's a good exercise to do both, like get a pen and paper and like write extrinsic and intrinsic, because they both can play a value. You know, you can say like an extrinsic goal could be like, hey, like I've got a holiday coming up in the summer, and you know what, like I want to look fucking great. I want to look great on that holiday. But that can't be the only driver of like mm-hmm. why you're taking these actions. So you can be like, right, I've got 6 months till the vacation. I want to look great. I want to wear this bikini. I want to wear these swim shorts, whatever it is. And you can write down all the extrinsic reasons why. And you can have that as a driver, because you can play into that and tap into that motivation. But then on the flip side, you don't want to become a person who then goes on that vacation and comes back and doesn't do any of the things. So like, what are we going to do intrinsically mm-hmm. That's going to make sure that we keep up these actions after the vacation and the holiday, and we don't just go back to none? It's like, right, well, I'm exercising. Yeah, it's going to help me look good, but it's also going to make me feel good. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to eat really healthy, but why? Because it's going to make me look good. Yeah, but it's also going to make me feel good, show up better, sleep better. You know, just, you have better gut health. And it's, I think it is really important to get clear on those intrinsic reasons why we want to achieve the goals too.
Because that is going to make it feel easier to continue. And it's not yes. going to be another yo-yo crash up and down throughout the year.
Yeah, so we talk about this a lot, but it's, your health and wellness is an infinite game. So you're playing this for the rest of your life. And if you want to avoid the yo-yo, you have to have intrinsic reasons why you want to keep taking action. If you just consistently set extrinsic, you will always be chasing the holiday, the little black dress on Christmas, whatever sort of timeline that you put in. Instead of, if you have more intrinsic reasons why, you will just consistently keep showing up, because it kind of plays into the identity-based goals. That's like who you want to be.
Yeah, 100%. And another thing that ties into that, you said about like feeling good and like the things that keep you going with these actions, understanding why and like what's the difference between feeling good and not feeling good is super important. So we use a really powerful exercise with our clients to go a bit deeper with the why. Would you be able to yes. explain how that would work? We can role play it if you want.
Okay. Yeah. We call it the five whys.
Oh yeah, if you are playing along at home, this is your
Pen and paper cue. Yeah. we call it the five whys, because typically if you go five whys deep, you will actually find something that's a little bit more meaningful. And to sort of brace yourself here, like I've asked a lot of clients this, and when I've been on breakthrough calls, and tears do come out, because you actually start to unlock the real reason why you want to take action. So it can be like, hey, like I want to lose, you know, insert goal. So I want to lose 40 pounds.
Okay. Jamie, why do you want to lose 40 pounds?
Oh, you're doing it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I could be like, oh, I want to feel better.
Okay. But what do you mean by feel better? Why do you want to feel that way?
Well, I want to feel more confident and in control.
Okay, what would being in control change in your life?
I would feel like I keep my promises to myself, and I would show up as a better version of myself for me and my career and my family.
Okay, and why is that important to you?
Because my family and my world, and I want to progress in my career, and it matters to me. You know, I'm struggling here, because this is amazing.
I'm on the spot. but you can see, it's yeah. like, it's not just, oh, I want to feel better. There's more behind that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the time it becomes like who you genuinely want to be and how you want to show up, not just this outcome-based goal of like lose 40 pounds and what that's wrapped up in. And by the way, like, There's no wrong why here or right why. It's actually just trying to get to the deeper rooted reason of like why you actually want to achieve that result. And there's also nothing wrong with like vanity side of things too. I think like anyone's goal, if you apply attach meaning to it, like that's okay. I think eventually you do want to get away from maybe some of these like surface level society things that we maybe have in place, but and get something a little bit more grounded. Like, have you got like deep reasons? What are your like whys for taking care of your health?
To feel better.
To feel better. Yeah.
But if I don't, I know how like sore and achy and like just unpleasant my body can feel if I don't, and I know how great it can feel if I do. So that's maybe a slightly different lived experience of somebody who has quite a lot of weight to lose and hasn't been fit and active before. I would say, therefore, it's for me to be able to live a free, fun, comfortable life and do whatever I want to do without having to be like, oh, that's going to hold me back. I think that's quite relatable to a lot of people. It might not be achy pains or like feeling bloated if I don't eat well. It might be that physically you aren't capable of taking part and doing all the fun things. So that can be a big driver for a lot of people.
Yeah. For me, it's... And I think this is like all of our most precious resource, which is time. And I fully believe by living a fit and healthy and active lifestyle, one, I'm not a crank. I mean, I'm a crank probably enough anyway that you guys would say. But like, if I don't exercise, my mental health goes to shit pretty fast. And I actually end up just hating myself. And like, it's not even worth me dealing with myself at that point. But mainly it's just energy. You know, there's some people that I know and it's like after the workday, they're just done, like shattered. And it's like, it's like a third of your day. Or it's, a, I guess, half of your waking day. But like by looking after yourself, you have so much more energy and so much, and because of that, it feels like you have so much more time. Like the output that at least I feel like I'm able to operate at because I'll look after my health. And it's a balancing act as well at times, but it just gives me more energy, more time. And that allows me to do a lot more things and get more out of life. So like that's such a like a deep reason why for me to keep eating a certain way, training a certain way, moving in a certain way, because who doesn't want to have more energy and have more
time? I guess
time?
They both kind of, we both come down to the same thing. Like we can get more out of life. Like we can do the things we want to do. Nothing's holding us back. Literally the world's our oyster if you look after yourself.
Yeah. And that's, I've said this many, many times. It's because it's very true, but it's just like, you know, the healthy person has many wishes, the sick person has one. And a lot of people just, we're just very naive until something often drastically happens that like, we're just all going to live forever and things are going to be fine. But like the gap really starts to open. Like when you're fit and, when you're 20 and fit and healthy and someone who isn't, the gap isn't that big. 30, it starts to open up. You get some aches and pains. You've gained probably quite a bit of weight. 40, you're living pretty decent lives at this point. You know, there's a lot of limitations if you haven't looked after your health by you're in your 40s. 50s, you might not even make it there. Same for 60s. But at that point, like I've met some people in their 60s who are running around crazy energy, like in great shape. And I know there's a level of privilege to that too. And I'm very aware of that. But like there's also some people who had the same probably opportunities if you didn't take those options when they were there or choices. And they're like sat in a chair for, you know, 14 hours a day and just hardly moving and have got no energy. And it's like, wow, like life is, for me, life is so short, like so short, and it goes so fast. And it's like, why wouldn't you want to be in your 60s and your 70s and running around and having great energy and making meaningful times?
Especially because actually 60 isn't even that old anymore.
It isn't.
Like maybe when back in the day when like 65, 70 was a good innings, you could probably think, well, you know, I'll take it easy in my last 10 years. It's not your last 10 years anymore.
That's definitely not. No, and like if we're, you know, the... everything that's moving with modern medicine, our generation's predicted to live well into the hundreds.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, like, you know, that whole idea of like good habits compound and so do bad habits. Like if you start, you know, looking after your health and wellness now and create some of these good habits around sleep, movement, training, longevity with your, you know, how you move, you know, that's going to really pay dividends as you go into those later decades of your life.
Yeah, because it's one thing being alive till you're 100. It's another thing actually like living a full life till you're 100.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know what I mean? The quality of your life as you start to get older, that's where the gap really starts to open up. You know, where like, can you touch your toes? Can you squat down? You know, are you strong? Are you mobile? You know, can you pick your kids up, your grandkids up? You know, just all of those different things that kind of play into it. And it's, yeah, energy and vitality of life. It's,
yeah.
It's, I literally, me and Steph were walking in Arizona, in Sedona, And there was two old women walking past. I think they were like late 70s, 80s. And we started chatting to them a bit. And literally as we walked off, they were like, enjoy your youth, like that to us. But like, I was like, fair play. They were like hiking up a mountain, you know, yeah, in the early 80s.
Nice.
But it is that too as well. You know, like they've looked after themselves, but you know, you still are obviously a little bit envious maybe of the younger generation. But like the way, like I've been following the knees over toes guy and doing his program for a while now. And so a lot of the other guys, but the whole philosophy with that program is to just, you know, be able to run, lift, move, squat, deadlift when you're in your 80s, 90s, mm-hmm, and 100s. And it's like, why not? Like the quality of your life is just vastly better if you keep on top of that stuff.
As you can tell, we're both very passionate about this. Why? Okay if you have a different why.
Yeah, it's
but a lot
it's
of the time
okay.
It comes down to a very similar, mm-hmm, essence. And I think for a lot of our clients, it's very, very common. I've heard from clients that it comes down to being all of those things, but for their family.
For the kids, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not about like, I want to be old and healthy. It's like, I want to be able to enjoy my grandkids. I don't, yeah, want to be a burden on my own kids. Yeah. All of those things tie in together to the same kind of reasoning.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, sometimes when you first go down this exercise, your why can actually be quite negative. So it might be like, my mum had a heart attack when she was 50 and I don't want that to be the same for me. And that's a driver, it 100% is. But then if you're able to get past that eventually and be like, right, I'm doing the things now, I don't want that to be the same, you know, reality for me. Then it's like, well, why didn't you want to be like your mom? Okay, you wanted to live a longer life. Why? You wanted to get more out of life. Why? I wanted to spend more time with my kids. So it kind of starts to come back to the same thing. But it's, yeah, sometimes those initial drivers might be quite painful. And that's, I'm okay with that. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm just like,
it's true for you.
Yeah, you can use pain as energy. You know, you really can. And you can take something negative and use the energy and the pain from that emotion and cause it to drive a positive action. But then over time, I think it's good to replay this exercise of the five sort of whys and get clear on like, hey, I am fitter and healthy now. Why am I still wanting to do this? And you can start to get more grounded in the role model you want to be for your kids or for your family and how you want to show up for yourself and why that's important to you.
I think that's a really important point to make, that it isn't always going to be the same why. Your why is going to change depending on where you are in your journey, what other things are going on in your life. Like, you might have a very fixed idea of what your why is and that will get you to a certain point, but then maybe something else happens to you or someone in your family dies or you have a health scare. Your why is going to be very different and that's okay. And you should probably revisit this at least once a year.
At
New Year's resolution time.
It's a good time.
But, you know, whenever any big shift happens in your life, it's worth just having this exercise on standby and just being like, can I check in again?
Yeah, definitely. There are some of those big moments that happen in people's lives, like near-death experience, having kids, or something pretty traumatic happening where it does kind of make you reevaluate your values and what's important to you. And again, like some of those things can be really positive or really negative. Mm. But being able to, you know, realign what's important to you at that point and get clear on that. That's, you know, if you, let's just take like somebody who's trying to lose weight and it's like, right, we're 3 weeks into January and it's like, your why to lose weight is, I just want to lose weight. That's it. So we're 3 weeks in and it's like, I'm shattered. I've worked all the hours in the world this week. My kids are doing my head in. I've got no food in the house. It's just like all the things have gone wrong and we haven't planned or prepped. In that moment, it's really easy to just go, fuck it. Like what's the point? I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard, you know, versus, cause that's just the outcome that you're focusing on versus like, hey, I need to lose 40 pounds. Why? I need to get my health in check. I need to show up as a better leader for my family. I need to show up as a better role model for my family. I know if I don't sort this out, it could possibly negatively impact my career because I'm not looking after myself. And it's like, okay, so you've got this really long, deep rooted reason why that you need to take action. In that moment, when you get to that point and you can look at your goals and look at your outcomes, you can be like, no, I need to do this. You know, it becomes more of a necessity instead of a nice to have. And I think that's it's really important because it makes you more committed to the goal.
It does. And it also means when it's tough, you kind of expect it to be tough.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, oh, I need to show up as a better leader or I need to be a better role model. Role models don't just swan through life. Mm-hmm. Like, we look up to them because they do something that is slightly above and beyond what other people do. So it kind of sets you in that identity again of, like, this is the person that I'm going to show up as. It's not just a thing that I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah. And we always talk about having a growth mindset. In that situation, if you end up in it, and a lot of people will on a health and fitness kick, you'll end up in a situation where it's like, this is really hard. How have I got here? You know, it's like, okay, today hasn't gone to plan. But then it's like just taking a moment and to just reflect, learn from it, and then grow from that situation. And if you just keep applying that same mindset to all those situations, like, okay, why haven't I got any food in the house? Right, I didn't plan well enough this week, or something happened with the kids. Okay, if that exact situation happens again, what can I do differently to create a different outcome? Okay, take one lesson from that, move on.
And even like start to be proactive. So, yeah. I didn't have any food in. So, okay, from now on, I'm going to book a online delivery to arrive every Sunday night so that I start the week sorted out.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to be caught out.
Yeah. And then if you just literally keep doing that, again, just instead of thinking like, right, I'm 3 weeks in and week three hasn't been perfect, or I haven't stuck the plan. It's like, okay, today didn't go to plan, not the whole week. And it's like, what can I learn from that? How can I be proactive? How can I learn? How can I grow? And again, if you just kept doing that for weeks, months, you will be shocked at how far you can get.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, just a quick ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, we do ask if you would go and hit that subscribe button, because our goal is to be able to help all of you guys become body smart. And the way we can do that is by getting better guests on, more experts, and the bigger this podcast gets, the more guests we can get on here.
So I've got a few notes on other techniques that can help you succeed. So you've talked about practicalities in the moment, but also at this very stage we're at today, if you're listening along, the little things that you can do when you're setting these goals are really important. So we've talked about like understanding why you want to achieve them, making sure they're more around like an identity-based goal. But also, next up is actually physically write your goals down. As I said, get pen and paper. Because one study from the Dominican University in California showed that 42% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down by hand. Yeah. Not typey-typey on your phone.
Typey-typey.
it's a little bit weird how it works. And I actually was like, why is that a thing? And I went down a rabbit hole, and no one really knows why. But I think it's to do with the two different sides of your brain and using your handwriting.
Yep.
It introduces like your creative side of your brain, and it just becomes like a more embedded thing. It also means that it's like a filter for your brain. You have to get the words into complete sentences. It has to get onto the paper in a way that your brain processes. So it's really important to write it down.
Yeah, that's something that I've always done with my actually New Year's goals. I've always,
oh yeah,
always sort of written them down. Yeah, and I like to have them written down and then somewhere I can actually see them. And I always kind of make a point of like, I want to start like checking them off. But yeah, the way I done them for this year, actually, I wrote them down and then I typed them up and then had them out. I mean, I had like reflection points at each quarter. And there's a few that I've already had to put like a red X on, like I'm not going to achieve, because I've put a lot down there and put some very ambitious stuff on there too. So I wanted to kind of reach for the stars and see how far I got.
Yeah.
But that's always been really useful for me to like write it down and get clear and just actually spend like actually making the time to you know, think about this, because it's important.
Well, that's another thing. By taking the time to write it down, you are proving to yourself, this is important. This isn't just another fleeting thought that I had whilst I was on the way to work. It's something that is deserving of my time and attention. I'm going to sit and concentrate on it for 10, 20, 30 minutes.
And it should be, it's the trajectory of your life.
Yes.
It quite literally is the trajectory of your life. You know, there's a, I'm coming out with all the quotes today, you know, show me your habits and I'll show you your future. And it's like, if your habits right now are not serving you and you're sitting down with some goals to set better habits, that will literally change the course of your life in a really positive way.
Definitely. There was another study which I found really interesting as well, which was about like why notes are important, because I did go down the rabbit hole and like why noting things down was important. And it was about like a teacher, you know, talking to a class, and there was one group of people that took notes and one group of people that didn't take notes. And the people who didn't take the notes, they remembered lots of random things about the class, didn't really remember all the important stuff, but they remembered some of the other random stuff as well. The people who were taking notes remembered like 80% of the important stuff. They couldn't really remember any of the non-important stuff. And I think what's really interesting from that study is your brain, if you give it a framework of like, this is what is important, this is what we're focusing on, it's like, cool, got it. I'll just save that stuff. And with your goals, like like you just said, that is what is important for you to focus on for the next however many months. If you've given your brain this black and white framework of pointing out these are the things that matter to me, you're going to find it easier to channel your attention into those, even without thinking.
Yeah, it's if you want to remember anything, you have the easiest way to do it is to attach meaning to it. So that's like such a good way. So like if your goals should already have meaning, then if you look at your goals and then go five wires deep on each one of them, now you've got a lot of meaning behind them. And then if you write them down, and we've always been a big component of, you know, making it obvious. So like it's say you've got your goals stuck up in your office, stuck up on your mirror, in your car, on your fridge,
it's on like your phone.
On your phone. Yeah. There's like now all of a sudden it's like you're giving your goals so much focus. You know what I mean? Like every time you walk in the bathroom, they're there. Every time you see them on the fridge, there. Every time you open your phone, there's your goals. And it's that constant reminder of like what I'm looking to achieve and why it's important to me. And if you've truly attached meaning to it, just even making it that obvious and insight all the time will start to influence your actions in a really positive way.
And it means there's no kind of letting yourself off the hook, because it's not this fleeting thought that you had on the way to work.
Yeah.
It's literally there in your face and it is holding you accountable, where you can't just say to yourself, I know I said healthy, but you know, one day doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're like, no, healthy means X, Y, Z. I wrote it down in black and white and I didn't do that great with it today, but my plan of action is this. You really just start to live a different level of accountability when you do see it.
Yeah. I think what's always... And it can be difficult if you've not spent time doing this before. It is setting somewhat realistic goals as well. Because if you are setting these really unrealistic goals, even if you've written them down and even if you're looking at them, if it's just so far out of something that you could achieve, then it's, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure and be like, right, I've done all of these things that Jamie and Stacey said, but I'm still, you know, I'm still not being able to hit them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where we talk about timescales is it's really helpful to work back from this big goal that you've got. Literally think about, right, if that's the end state at the end of 2024, say, I want to get to this point, where would I need to be by July? Where would I need to be there for by March? Yeah. And then think, okay, if that's the case, where do I need to be by next week? Is that realistic if you chunk it down? And if it's not, then go back and go to a point where you think, you know what, each week by week action is realistic and set those milestones for you to focus on.
Yeah, it makes it more clear and obvious of like what we need to do this week, next week, this month, instead of like, I've got this huge goal of like, I need to lose 75 pounds this year. It's like, that feels like a big mountain to climb, instead of being like, hey, in January, I'm going to focus on losing 7 pounds.
Definitely. Yeah. Because the other thing is, if you focus on that big goal, even when you lose 7 pounds, you might not even feel like you've made a dent, but actually you've done amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is, and again, like that's a good point to like say, hey, like celebrate that. You've got some evidence to show that you can be consistent and then set the next goal. And it's like all of a sudden now you're 2 months in, you're 14 pounds down. And again, you're building more evidence, you're keeping your promises to yourself, you're building that consistency and you're moving closer and closer, but you've got those mini milestones towards that bigger goal.
I think there's two different types of people actually when it comes to goal setting. I think probably, I'm going to assume you're the big reach for the stars kind of, I'm going to set myself a 75-pound goal. I'll be like, I'm just going to lose 10 pounds, just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then when I get to the 10 pounds, I'm like, oh, I was all right, I'll go do another 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a right or wrong way if you know your own personality, as long as you don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. There's this and I forget who have said it exactly, but it was very much wrapped around business, but there's always crossovers between like business and health and the same sort of mindset that you need to have to succeed in both. But it was like basically like whatever your goals are, like 10x them. And it's like, which would probably be the opposite thing I'd probably say for someone in their health and fitness. But just like even by reaching for the stars, even if you got 3 or 4 times that distance, it's probably a hell of a lot more than just what you were going to set initially, which is that one. So that can be counterintuitive with health and wellness to an extent. But yeah, I think it's just getting realistic. And like with yourself, if you've not, I think it comes down to you. If you've struggled for years or decades, probably setting a 10x goal is probably just going to set you up for failure. That's probably what you've done for the past however long without maybe realizing it. So doing more what you've just said, Stace, and saying, hey, I'm going to set a goal to lose 10 pounds. And then when I get there, I'm just going to reevaluate and set some new ones.
Yeah. And I think especially if you've got that perfectionist mindset, if you set yourself a big goal and you don't achieve it in the set amount of time that you gave yourself, or you have a stumble along the way, you're more likely to beat yourself up and quit. Whereas if you're like, well, I'm 80% of the way there already, like actually I've nearly done it, I can keep going this last little bit. Sometimes for motivation, that's a bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with our, and I think you've actually got it down here, with our, a lot of our clients, we set SMART goals.
Yes.
Yes.
Do we want to go into how we set SMART goals? Because it's not the same as everyone else, because we're special.
Because we're special.
Also, it's called Body SMART for a reason.
Exactly, exactly. So we use the acronym SMART for specific, meaningful actions, rewards, and time. And we often start with the time, and we try to actually keep the goals within like a 1 month time frame. And the reason that is because it makes it, it kind of forces you to make a realistic goal if you're being truly honest with yourself. And what it allows you to do is like it makes it very obvious also what the actions need to be to achieve that goal. So let's say you've got a goal of, you know, losing 5 pounds this month, and that could be like your January goal. And let's say you've got a goal of, is there any other goals you want to add to this?
Well, I would always say to somebody who's setting goals with client-wise that you probably want to have a weight goal because that's what you're here to achieve. But let's also look at other things you're going to achieve along the way. So it might be something that you achieve in the gym, or it might be like a habit that you change or a mindset that you start to shift as well. So that you're allowed to, you're allowing yourself to celebrate other areas of your growth, not just the weight.
Yeah. So you could have a weight loss goal as one. You could have like, I want to improve the form of my squats, or I want to be able to do a certain amount of squats per set. And then you could have, every time on a Friday, I've been getting a takeaway, and I know that's not saving my health. So instead, we're going to make a fake away.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we're going to do something different. So they're like the three goals for January.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, so next is the meaningful, which is the why. So this is where you ask five whys, and you would do ask five whys around your weight, ask five whys around your squats, ask five whys around not having the takeaways on a Friday. And, you know, you'll probably get something like, oh, you know, I want to look better, I want to feel better, I want to be stronger, I don't want to be living, be in a bigger body. Whatever it is, again, it's going to be unique and meaningful for you. With the squats, it could be like, why is that important to me? And again, it's just like, why? I don't want to put words into people's mouths, but it could just be like, yeah, I want to be stronger, I want to have stronger legs, I want to have a stronger
confidence.
Core, I want to have the confidence, I want to feel, have good coordination.
Yeah, be able to pick things up off the floor, holding my toddler and his pram and the dog stuff.
Yeah. And then on the, you know, the one with the fakeaways or not having the takeaways every Friday could be like, I want to save some money, I want to eat healthier, don't feel great after I eat that food on Friday, don't feel great on Saturday morning as well after eating that food on Friday. So, you know, all of a sudden you've got like a much deeper reasons why for each one of those basically outcome-based goals. And then it's the actions. So like, what actions have we got to take to achieve those goals? So like, right, to lose weight, we know we need to be in a calorie deficit. So we're going to need to, you know, mindfully track our food or be mindful of our food and portion control. Then when it comes to the squats, it's like, hey, like how many times am I going to exercise, you know, per week? And then when it comes to the fakeaways or the takeaways, it's like, right, I'm going to do some food prep at the start of each week to make sure we've got a new fakeaway in every Friday, and we can make it like a family activity or one with my partner. And we actually prepare for that. So it doesn't just come to Friday like it does each week. And we're like, oh, I'm tired, it's been a long week, should we just get a takeaway? And you go into that, it's like, oh no, we already ordered the food at the start of the week or on the weekend, and we've got it, and we know what we're going to do on Friday. And again, it's being intentional about the day and the week.
Yeah, being intentional is huge. And I think that's the key of even setting this type of goal. Like, the people might be thinking, well, the takeaway one sounds a bit weird. But those are the kind of things where if you actually make it an intention and you spend some time looking up recipes, like, it actually becomes something interesting and fun because you're not in the stressed out, exhausted moment. You're doing it as a proactive thing. And that kind of runs for every element that we're talking about. If you do it when you've got the brain space and you've got the right kind of train of thought going, you already pre-do the thinking and the work for when you're in the exhausted space.
Yeah.
It just, your life just feels different. Everything feels easier because you've done the hard work at the time when you had the ability to do it.
Yeah. Like for me, so much of my sort of parts around my health and fitness are just on autopilot now. Like the days I work out, it's already pre-booked in my calendar. I look at it the week before, and if stuff's moved in terms of work, I just move my workouts around. So it's kind of like everything's just on autopilot. I mean, I just have to follow through. It doesn't really take too much thinking. I just have to do. So then when things do get stressful or difficult, or there's a lack of sleep, or things move around in terms of work, my default is just to just keep staying on top of my health and wellness. And that's really where you want to get it to, because then it doesn't feel like a chore or such a difficult thing to do. Those times do still happen. And then you have to kind of like push through and again, learn from them. But it's, you know, you can also accept like, hey, like that was a bit of a perfect storm. Like this and that happened. And it's like, okay, right. So, you know, now I've got a choice to make.
So when you are thinking of your actions, think about something that you could do even on a busy day, like make it realistic in terms of, like you were saying, your workouts. You know, you could definitely get 5 workouts in a week. Not saying you guys need to. Yeah. Jamie would like to do 5 though. Let's say your realistic amount, even on a busy week, might be 3. So plan them on your least busy days, plan them when you're most likely to succeed. And like that's part of setting your action as well. It's not just randomly saying, I'm going to do 3 workouts a week.
Yeah.
It's being very specific about how that's going to be the easiest possible plan to follow through on.
Yeah, and then it's doing that with your nutrition, it's doing that with your workouts, it's doing that if you had a sleep goal, like, hey, we're going to go to bed at this time and get up at this time. It is really starting the week with intention when you've got a little bit more time and bandwidth to think about it. And then once you actually stay consistent with those new intentions, it actually becomes, over time, they don't require as much energy because you just do. And then that's how you start to develop those new habits and that new identity, which makes it easier. But yeah, just like setting that 1 month goal and then being intentional and creating plans and sticking to them. You know, even if you get through that and hit your goal like 80-90% of the way and then hit that point, or even if you did hit your goals, even better, the reward. And a lot of people typically go, right, I'm going to drink, or I'm going to eat, I'm going to order a takeaway, I'm going to celebrate with food or drink. We always try to get people to not make it around food or drink, mainly because we want people to have an abundance mindset and realize that you can actually factor those foods in and drinks generally.
Anytime. Don't have to earn them.
Yeah. And the rewards, some people, you know, they want to buy themselves something. For other people, it can just be like making some time for yourself.
My absolute favorite one a client ever told me. She was like, I'm sending my husband out of the house with the kids for the whole day so that I can game all day on my own. I was like, that's genius.
Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes it is. It's asking something from your partner, or even telling your partner, like, hey, if I hit these goals, I want my reward to be like, you know, can I have a bit of me time, or do this or do that, or whatever else. Like, it doesn't have to be around money or buying yourself something. But for some people, like, I'm going to buy myself a new pair of trainers, or I'm going to buy myself new leggings or a bath bomb or whatever it is, you know. And it's a pat on the back to say, hey, this is what I set out for. I've been intentional about it. I've achieved it. Giving yourself a little bit of recognition, but then equally setting that next milestone straight away and being like, right, what are we going to go for now? And there'll be some lessons in that month. So like, hey, I set 3 workouts out and it was actually quite easy. Can I do 4? Do I want to do 4? Do I have the time for 4? Yes. Okay, cool. Let's go at that for the month. Or maybe you set 4 workouts and 4 was too much and you were like 80% consistent. You know what? I'm going to set myself 3 and I'm going to try and do a little bit more steps instead. So it's always that point of like, you can set these goals and some of them you might get right and be able to hit and achieve and then do a bit more. And some you might you were too ambitious and you might need to dial it back, and just being a little bit loose and adaptable with it.
And going with the flow on each month as it comes and taking into account the realities of that month as well, I think is important. So January, for a lot of people, it's pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. If you are starting a new exercise routine, or like you want to eat healthily, maybe there's less social events, it might actually feel easier. When we come around to, I don't know, May, June, July, maybe there's a vacation, maybe you're going to barbecues, maybe, you know, you're getting invited out a bit more. You maybe need to flex your goals as the year goes on. So don't necessarily think everything is set in stone.
Yeah, and I think that's why like the start of a new month can be like a great point to, you know, basically like be intentional about it. Like, I know people who like literally plan their whole years out, or their whole year out, in the sense of like, they know like Christmas is going to be a busier time, you know, like 2 months over summer is going to be a busier time. They've got some traveling in, they've got some, you know, and some people are that organized, and more power to them. I don't think that's me. it's not me. But you know, having that point of I think it's always a tipping scale of like order and chaos. Yeah. And if you have no order in your life, you will find that you've tipped straight into chaos, and that's where you will feel just like overwhelmed, a bit hopeless, and like what the hell is going on. And if you just start to create some level of order, it starts to make things a lot easier. I mean, we spoke about this on an earlier podcast that you've had to start creating more order with your workouts because you're a mum now and you've got less time. And that's because if you didn't do that, it just wouldn't happen. Yeah. Because you do find as you get more responsibility, if you don't create more order, you will slip into chaos further. And that's a lot of people. They just need to just create a couple of systems to just create a little bit more order. And you'd be shocked at like how much easier that can make things and how much more consistent you can be. You've just got to kind of fight your impulse maybe not to fight back against that.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I struggle with because I don't like to be constrained by things. And so routines, I've never really had a routine in my life. Still don't. where like the same thing happens on the same day every week of every month. Like that's just not the way my life is. And so I can find the idea of having a routine really hard work. And I can feel like it's someone telling me what to do, even though it was myself telling me what to do. Very contrary like that. However, there are certain things like we were talking about before with my workouts where it doesn't feel like that because it's almost like this is the only way I get to do the thing that I know makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That it's for me. And again, like coming back to that why is really important.
You've attached me into it, yeah.
So if you're like, oh, I know I've got to do four workouts, where am I going to be able to fit them in? That's when you might have that mindset of feeling constrained by a routine and a schedule. When it's like, right, I know I'm going to feel like this if I take this action.
Yeah.
I want to feel like that. So when can I get it in and really make it happen?
Yeah.
It completely flips the mindset about having a schedule and a fixed routine.
Yeah, because it's aligns with your values and what you want to do. And it's like, if that's the only time to fit it in, it's like, okay. From the conversations we've had, you seem quite excited to get those workouts in because it's that you time that you get to go and get them done. I think that's how I see a lot of things. It's just like a balancing act between order and chaos. Yeah. When you've got more order in your life, you can actually allow for a little bit more spontaneity and chaos because you've created systems in other areas. When you've got no order and you're in complete chaos, you know, a couple of systems in place or routines or schedules literally can like make you feel like you've flipping climbed up the trenches to an extent. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think actually you say about the order and chaos, I'm like, oh, I know what my New Year's resolution is. because I have had a balance of order and chaos. It's not been complete chaos with my nutrition since having Nate. And I now I can't really claim this anymore. It's nearly two.
Yeah.
So I have eaten okay.
Yeah.
But I haven't prioritized like my protein, my vegetables. I wouldn't say I have a bad diet, but I get a Gusto delivery once a week and they're balanced meals. That's my lunches and my dinners for 4 days. So those ones are solid.
Yeah.
Everything else is, I wing it. I completely wing it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay because I've got that baseline knowledge. It isn't like, oh, we just get McDonald's every day, but I know I could feel a lot better.
Yeah.
So this is my resolution is I am going to get back into the order side of life on those other meals through the week because I don't feel as great as I can.
Yeah. And I think that's even good to just like that's been a season like with Nate and now you're just like, and now you're reflecting on it and be like, okay, now you want to create different outcomes. I'm not judging yourself so harshly. Like I think that's so many of the women I speak to, they're just, that's where the harshness kind of comes from is just like the ability to maybe just not judge yourself so hard when you're going through a certain season. Like the amount of ladies that you speak to, like you would just crucify themselves about the nutrition or not sticking to things, or I'll just start on Monday or things haven't gone to plan. And it's like, it just doesn't serve you in that moment. You know what I mean? It doesn't serve you in that moment or even moving forward. It's a much healthier approach to be able to just be like, hey, that hasn't gone to plan. Let's give that some thought a bit later and be proactive about it moving forward.
And also not to catastrophize quite so much, because old me, perfectionist me, would have like had a meltdown about the fact that I was not organized with my nutrition and I was winging it all the time and like probably didn't eat as well as I could. And real life now me is like, you know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually fine. Like I'm still have enough energy to get through life. I'm still in pretty good shape. It's not the worst thing in the world. So having a bit of a kinder voice to yourself that allows reality to come in is super important, I think.
Yeah, and that's a big part of that is like developing those skills, isn't it? And those foundations to make sure that when things like that do happen, you can have the ability to not judge yourself so harshly because you kind of get it quite a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. So once we've got our SMART goals written down by hand, looking beautiful, there are a couple more things that can help you stick with them. We've talked about having them somewhere visible. On your phone is a great one. And for our clients, we make them like a little screensaver if they want that they can put on their phone. That's something you can do on like a free app if you want to go down that route. I've had clients as well who don't necessarily want to have it on their phone, like the actual words. They've just maybe picked a photo or a image or something that just tunes them back into that feeling or that why as their screensaver.
Yeah.
So that can be just as powerful, if not more powerful. Because they say like a picture paints 1,000 words, right?
They do, yes.
So using something as a prompt daily to just reconnect with your goals, with your why, and just make sure each time you make a choice, each time you're caught in one of those difficult situations, you give yourself a second to just be like, right, what would this sit like next to my goals? How do I actually want to act? That is going to allow you to make those compounding choices over time to add up.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I've got is accountability.
Huge.
So, yeah.
I mean, everything that we've spoken about today, the power of having being accountable to someone or a coach or having someone who can lead and guide you the way, it propels you forward in such a positive way. But accountability is absolutely huge in making sure that you stick, that you've just got someone to be accountable other than yourself. Because that's it. It's like, oh, you didn't stick to my diet on Friday. Like,
oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not oh, well. Like, you might not feel great about it.
No.
But like you've got no one to answer to for that. And it goes such a long way. It really, really does.
Yeah. And so there are many ways that you can create accountability around your goals. So the easiest one is to tell your friends and family, but they're less likely to pull you up and be like, hey, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Or if they do that, you're probably going to be like, oh, what are you saying anything for? Who are you to tell me what to do? So might not be the best person.
Yeah. Have you ever tried the put your money where your mouth is?
I haven't.
No. So no. I got my sister to do this.
Yeah.
Because she was asking for some accountability, but she was like, I don't want to coach you. I don't want this. And I was like, okay, send me £500. And if you don't do your goal by this date, I'll donate it to a charity. So like that was how she done it. So I was like, hey, like I'm not going to spend your money, but I was like, put your money where your mouth is. You're saying these goals are important to
you. It's a very good one.
Yeah. So that's like a way of like putting some skin in the game yourself. And if you are wary to doing that, like you don't want to lose that money, I think that's a great moment to like go, well, is this goal actually that important to me? Because you might be like, and by the way, it doesn't have to be £500. It can be like, I think it needs to be like a significant enough amount of money that you wouldn't want to lose.
If it's not like 20 quid.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to lose it. Like if it's like, yeah, you're just like, oh yeah, it's like £20, $20. You're just like, whatever. It needs to be like a significant enough amount that like you would, it pain a bit to lose that. So it's like, and then you give that to, you know, someone you trust and say, hey.
Who isn't going to go in the January sales and spend it all.
Yeah, someone you trust. And then, you know, that's again, it puts your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, the closest thing I've done, I did like dry October. I don't even know. Dry January is a thing. I don't know why it was
sober
dry.
October.
Oh, sober October. That's the one. I did that a couple of years ago. And I got to like the 28th and I was like, oh, I just really want a glass of wine. I was like, if I donate like £100, do you think then it doesn't count? So I did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Any others for accountability?
So one of the things that I found really helpful when I was starting on my fitness journey was having like a gym buddy.
Okay.
Because I would wake up for a morning workout and be like, oh no, I can't be bothered, and just go back to sleep. Mm. But if I know someone else is waiting for me, or even if I've booked a class, and you had to pay like a missed class fee if you missed a class, that would be enough to make me get up and go.
Yeah, that's a really good way. Steph's exactly like that. If she has her CrossFit classes booked in for the week, you know, there's a 99% likelihood that she's going to go to them because, you know, she's booked and there's a fee. And also it's just like, again, it comes back to being intentional. You've planned your workouts out for the week, and there's a level of accountability there to getting it done.
Yeah, love that. So hopefully you've got your SMART goals all written out and ready to go. We'd love it if you could share and tag us at Body Smart Fitness. See all of your beautiful goals for the year. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we have got a great backlog of episodes. So if you are sitting there with some inspiration, have a little flick through, and we will be back with more next week.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. And if what we've been saying has made a lot of sense and you are ready to connect the dots with your health, fitness, and nutrition, then our life-changing Body Smart coaching is just the ticket. Head on over to the description, click the link to apply, and we cannot wait to help you change your life.